carried a theme that has just continued, and the message this morning, Standing in the Gap, the songs tonight, Make Me a Channel of Blessing, Give Out the Good News Today, just that has continued to be a theme throughout the day today. And I want to bring to you a message entitled Ministering to Men. And I won't be long this evening, but one of the greatest joys of the Christian life is when God uses you to bring another soul to Christ. It truly is one of the most satisfying, fulfilling things that you could ever be a part of in your Christian life or in life at all. Beyond that step of bringing somebody to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they confess their faith and trust in Him and being instrumental in changing their eternal destiny from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven, and begin to see the light come on where they acknowledge and realize that they're lost and they need a Savior, and the thrill that is. I mean, regardless of where you are or in what place it is, sometimes our summer interns that have come here, they've had opportunity, whether out at Bible Club or during Vacation Bible School or even on Saturday visitation or something, where they got to go through the plan with somebody, or even one step further, they got to see somebody get saved. And for them, it was their first time ever in their life that they got to lead somebody to Christ. And they talk about how exciting it was and how just amazing. I mean, the glow that's on their face and the thrill that's in their heart for being used of God to see that happen. But going one step beyond that is when we are able to, in some small part, be a part of a person's discipleship, where somebody is encouraged and challenged to grow in the Lord, the journey of sanctification that God takes us all on, when we are instrumental in helping to bring them along, when we get to be a part in encouraging them. One of the most amazing and I would say complimentary things that's been said to me in recent days was, I read it. I didn't write it. I read it. But Kim's testimony on Thursday night about their process of growth here at the church and how they, just what God did, and ultimately her description of Pastor Caleb and Miss Mary discipled us into following biblical patterns for our life, and the challenge that is, but also for me, what a testimony and a blessing to hear that God used us that way. It is a joy. Sadly, there are far too few of God's people that get to experience these thrills. The church, beloved, is set up as a organization. We know it's an organism. It's a living thing. The church is the body of Christ. It's all of us, and we all make up the church. But the church as an organization is set up, really, every part of it is designed to help fulfill or to provide opportunities for that to happen for everybody. That is what we strive to do. Our goal as a church should be to equip you so that you have the tools that are necessary, so that you know how to lead somebody to Christ, so that you are able to take the whole discipleship program, and then once you've gone through it, you'll be able to take it and take somebody else through it, and you'll be able to go on. The text for tonight is the theme verse for our discipleship program, 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. Every part of the ministry is set up to help fulfill this. Our goal is to equip you. And then it's to enlist you, to get you to take that step and maybe get out of your comfort zone, but to enlist you to say, okay, I can get involved right here. I can participate in this way. I can be instrumental or used of God here in this way, and to try and enlist you and then encourage you in this worthy endeavor. Every aspect of the ministry should be designed and is designed to help fulfill these goals. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It is God's plan and God's design that you and I would learn of Him and then share Him with others. I desire to take the thought from this morning of standing in the gap. about God searching for a man that's able to or willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I thought about joking about the size of the gap you were going to fill. But you know, beloved, the size of the gap you're filling has nothing to do with your size individually. What it has to do with is the level of your commitment. How dedicated you are, how committed you are to the cause of Christ. That's how much of the hedge that you'll be able to make up. How big of a gap that you'll be able to fill, because there, excuse me, there are gaps that need to be filled, and God needs people to step up to fill them. I believe, beloved, that God has a spot in the hedge for every one of us. There is a gap that is uniquely designed or fit just for you, with who God has made you to be and the skills that you have and the abilities that you have and the strengths that you have, and yeah, even the weaknesses that you have, but yet God will take you and use you to make up that section of the hedge, because by his infinite wisdom and plan, he has that set for you. John 3 and 1 through 4, John testifies and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is certainly the heartbeat of any parent. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This week I was sitting with a parent, and their whole, as they poured their heart out, just their whole thought was, I just want my kids to do right. I just want my kids to serve God. They don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or go and, you know, hold some position somewhere or even in a full-time Christian service. I just want them to walk in truth. That they would just do right. Do what God wants them to do. Just follow the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. That means surrendering and doing what they know in their heart is right. Oh, if they would just do that, I would be overjoyed as a parent. No greater joy does a parent have than to see or hear that his children are walking in truth. This is the heartbeat of a parent. This is the heartbeat of anybody that's had privilege of teaching. Every person that's taught, whether that is even math, English, science, you know, Valerie enjoys teaching. And the when you get to teach and guide a young pupil and you get to see the light come on, and all of a sudden they acknowledge, they realize it, and they learn it, and they get it, and they're like, oh, and they've got it. And you taught them how to do that, and they carry that with them for the rest of their life. And you get to see that, and you get to shape their life like that. And you take that from a Sunday school teacher or all the way from the youngest age all the way to the pastor. There's no greater joy than to see the children or God's children walking in truth. Just as I testified tonight, the encouragement to my heart it is that Matt and Tiffany are raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I see their Facebook post, and it's not a bunch of worldliness. It's not a bunch of foolishness. It's about what God's doing in their life and about how their kids are memorizing scripture and about how God has blessed them today or answered their prayer here or whatever, and seeing that lived out in their lives. I mean, that's exciting for a pastor to see that growth and that change take place. It's the heartbeat, beloved, of anyone who invests their life in others. John poured his life into others. And as John poured his life into others, he got to experience the joy that comes from seeing others do right. Yes, there's heartache. Yes, there's challenge. As we get this prison ministry underway and those that get involved in that, there's going to be some challenges. But as we watch the video today, in my heart and mind, I'm saying, Lord, there's people right here in this prison that their lives can be transformed like that when we carry the truth in there. We've just got to go. We've just got to find them. We've got to present the truth of the Word of God. And they're broken. They're at the bottom. They need compassion. And if somebody would show them love, we could present the love of Jesus Christ, and God would transform their life. And those that are involved in that ministry will have the privilege of doing that and seeing that take place. God would have every Christian know that joy. And it's sad that so many don't. We want to talk to you about this ministering to men, taking our lives and pouring it into the lives of others. Make me a blessing. Make me a channel of blessing, Lord. Help me to give out the good news. Three short points and we'll be done tonight. First of all, what are the conditions? What are the conditions? We know that God has called each and every one of us without question. You've been in this church very long at all. You've been in any halfway decent church. You understand the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That God has given each and every one of us, regardless of whether you have been called to India, or whether you've been called to Japan, or you've been called to China, or whatever, wherever you might have been called. We know we've all been called to be a witness. We've all been called to share the good news with the lost and dying in the world. And we know that that mission was given to the church, and you and I are the church. The church is to be made up of saved, baptized believers who are endeavoring to see other people saved and baptized, so that they can be discipled and grow to the point where they are endeavoring to see other people saved and baptized. It is a sad thing that in, by and large, a lot of churches, and it's something that we struggle with because we drop the ball on this. We aren't seeing as many saved as we should. We aren't going out like we should. We know the truth. And the pastor stands up here and says it. And let me just say, I was encouraged this morning. How many, is it because he said amen so much that you guys said amen so much? I'm like, I'm hearing all these amens from the audience. And I'm like, man, they're not near this engaged when I'm speaking. They're all sitting there, you know, like tonight, you guys are all quiet, you know. And I'm like, this morning, I'm like, where's all these amens come from? But you know, what I'm saying is we'll say amen. We'll say, hey, we know we're supposed to be a witness. Amen. We're supposed to be telling others about Jesus. Amen. But are we doing it? Are we involved in the outreach of the church? Are we investing and passing out tracts? Are we being the witness that God calls us to be? God never planned for his people to come in and just soak it all up. He says, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We're supposed to learn it so we can use it to give to others. So we can influence somebody else's life. So that we can impact somebody else for the truth. I was talking to a pastor from Massachusetts this week. He called me to ask me some questions. That's kind of a transition in my ministry where I've been doing it long enough, somebody asked me a question. Instead of me, I'm always calling other people and asking questions, what should I do with this? But he called me, asked me some questions, and we were talking about it, and he says, you know, what we need is we need a ministry mindset all the time. Do you know Jesus Christ said that I came not to be ministered to, but to minister? And that just literally means servant, to serve. So ministering to men means serving others. Having that mindset, having the ministry mindset all the time as part of our life. I will never forget Dr. King's message, and it probably was one of the most transformative messages of my life. Plow with a purpose. Plow with a purpose. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we have supper with the shepherd? Is it just because I enjoy good food? I enjoy good food. Hallelujah. No. The goal, the reason is that we could invest in some lives for a little while, that we could be a source of encouragement and yes, maybe in some small way exhort and push you to take a step for Jesus Christ and to be a little more faithful to him, or to read your Bible a little more, to be more committed to reaching the lost, or whatever it is. There's a purpose for it. And for you as where you're at in your life, why would you take somebody to lunch? Because you didn't have anything else to do? No, hopefully in your heart and mind, you want to be a blessing to them. You want to encourage them. You find somebody that hasn't been in church for several weeks and they're back. Why don't you say, hey, can I take you to lunch today? And yes, there's a purpose. There's a reason. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want you to know there's people here that missed you when you weren't here. And I want to see you faithful to God's house. There's a purpose for it. Do you have a purpose? You come in and you sit and you enjoy the service. At least I hope you enjoy the service. But you get in here and you're part of it. But where are you ministering to others? I know sometimes there's life and you got to get up and you got to go. That happens. Sometimes even me as a pastor, there may be something I need to do, or I got to get somebody or go pick up somebody or something, who knows what, and I'll head out right away. But that shouldn't be all the time. I should be looking for somebody to minister to. Who can I encourage today? Who can I impact for the cause of Christ? Who can I say a good word to? A good word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You don't know what that encouraging word will do for somebody. We don't know the burdens that each people down the pew might be carrying, the struggles that they're facing. Sometimes, if the church knew the heartache that's just down the row, you would be broken for them. But they're not sharing with you. They're not saying anything about it. They're turning it to the Lord and letting God help them. But boy, we need to be on the lookout for where we can minister. As we learn from the pulpit, or we learn from our devotions, or we learn from listening to good preaching, or reading edifying books, or whatever. The goal is that, yes, we would be edified, but then we could take that and edify somebody else. What are the costs, beloved? It obviously is going to cost. It's going to cost time. If we're going to stick around and look for somebody to minister to, if we're going to try and invest in somebody's life. Just right before the service today, I got a text from Anthony Frazier. You guys remember him? Young man on the ensemble of New England Baptist Bible College. Came through and stayed at our house. We had him be part of our devotions as a family, like we do with whoever happens to be around. He, coming from the kind of home he came from, he had never experienced anything like that in his life. Just literally right before the service started tonight, he sent me a picture of his wife and his little baby. And he said, I'll never forget the night where you and your wife stayed up late talking to me about my home and how to have a godly home. And he said, now I have a wife, I have a little baby, I'm an assistant pastor in a church. And he says, I want to know if I can call you. I said, you can call me anytime. If I can help you, I'll be glad to. But that one night of just taking a little bit of time, including him and our family, and sitting with him and talking till late and just sharing our heart, here's who we are, this is what we do. We aren't perfect, but we love God and we try and love people. And this many years later, he texts me and says, listen, you impacted my life. We can do that, but it takes time. I don't remember exactly what was going on then, but I'm sure that typically on Sunday night, I'm wore out. Get to the end of the day, I'm pretty much done. My kids know it's like we get through Sunday night service and it's like there's a weight off, I'm done. The pressure's gone. I start to decompress but I get wore out, but that night that young man needed time. It's gonna cost some time. And you know what? We've talked about it before. I'm not the greatest conversationalist, and I'm not really that fun of a person to be around. You know, we're going to get to the candidates here in a minute, and I'm getting ahead of myself. You have a window of opportunity to impact somebody's life. And it's marginal. they say effectively that you can minister to somebody within 20 years of your age. So 20 years one direction or the other, within 20 years of your current age. Beyond that, your effectiveness has decreased substantially. Now, I've never been really good at ministering to teens. Even though I was a troubled teen, even though I had that connection with them, I'm just not a fun person. You know, it's just the facts. But you know what? I'm a good guy to have around if you have a problem. I'm a good guy to have around if you have something broken. But if you're looking for entertainment, you're going to have to get Jason. Jason and I are a little bit alike. We joke about that. We just both stand there silently, you know. That's our communication. We just silently. No, it's you have your skills, your ability, and a window of opportunity to impact others. You need to ask God to do it and help you. It's going to cost you something. First, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to be willing to grow. We can't be content to stay where we are. Those that are going through the discipleship, it's work. And you've got to learn. And then you not only do you go through it yourself, but then you have to go through it again to prepare to teach it so that you're ready to share it. And it's a lot of work. And then you got to take time to meet somebody somewhere, whether your house or their house or here at the church. And it takes effort to do that. This morning, Connor came up to me after the service. He made a beeline. And I asked him, not this morning, but I asked him already if he mind I used him as an illustration. And he said, no, go ahead. So I'm doing it with his blessing. But he walked up to me this morning, almost tears in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I want to stand in the gap. I want to stand in the gap. He said, what's next for me? What do I need to do now? And he talked to me about some of the challenges that he's facing, some of the struggles that he has, and I won't get into those, but he said, even beside that, I know that this is what God wants. God has spoken to my heart, and I'm ready, and I want to be here. I want to stand in the gap. And that's exciting. For a young Christian who's only been here a little while, stand up and say, I'm here and I'm willing to commit and do what I need to do. He said, I'm going to have to let go of some other things in my life so that I can have time to be here. But I wonder about some of us. We've been saved for a long time. We've been doing what we're doing for a long time. Are we willing to grow so we can stand in the gap? Or are we just comfortable where we're at? A hungry new saint, just hungering to be used of God. You see, it goes without saying, beloved, that I can't teach somebody to do something that I don't know how to do. Fact of the matter is, if you came to me tonight and asked me to teach you algebra, I would direct you to my wife. Because I can't do that. Or Hunter. Yeah, could have him do it. It's not something that I could do. I just don't have that. And so here's what I'm saying. You might have to grow in a particular area so that you're equipped to be able to help somebody else. You can't teach somebody about faithfulness if you're not faithful. You can't teach somebody about giving if you're not giving. You can't teach somebody about soul winning if you're not soul winning. If you want to be used to exhort and encourage other people to take these steps, then we've got to be taking them first. We've got to be going there first. You must be willing to grow. You must be willing to give. Give of yourself. Really, I think that's a lot harder. I've said it before, money for me has always been easy come, easy go. You know, I think about a time some guy stopped in the foyer here and he needed some money. And for me to pull out $10, say, here you go, here's 10 bucks. You know, there was two other guys there. Brad and John were there. They both gave him 10 bucks too. I told Brad and John, I said, you know, you're probably never going to see that again. They're like, yes, okay. But, you know, to give somebody $10, that's kind of easy. But to stop what I was doing and to go get in a car and go help him off the side of the road, that's different. So I think giving of ourselves a lot of times is a lot harder than just giving some money. That's what God calls of us, is to give of ourselves to reach others. Paul is such a great example of this, over and over again, giving himself, even at the cost of his own health and being persecuted and so many other things. And I have passages of scripture here on all these things, but listen, there's a price to pay when we sacrifice and give to others, whether it's ourself or our finance. Some are going to take it. Some will take it and abuse it. But when we do it for God, it doesn't matter, because it was for God and not for them. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 10, he says, but we were gentle among you, even as nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. He said, we weren't willing just to come and preach to you, but we were willing to give of ourselves to reach you, to minister to you, to meet your need. And I think when that happens is when we'll start to see real revival. When that happens is when we'll start to see real impact and real change. When all of us, from the pastor down to the nursery worker, or whichever way you want to describe the scope of the church, when we all have that heart, we'll begin to see God do some great things through us in the lives of other people. We have vision for the future, ministries that we would love to start, things that could happen if there was people to stand in the back, in the gap. There's lots of people willing to stand in the back. That's not the shortfall here. Paul was willing to give of himself that people would not just have salvation, but that they would have the abundant life. I'd like you to see, lastly here, who are the candidates? He said, the same commit thou to faithful men. God is going to bring people in your path. He's going to bring people that you have the ability to impact and influence. Your realm and scope of influence is different than mine. My realm and scope of influence is different than yours. And we've got to seize the opportunity that we have in the scope and time that we have it to impact them for Christ. We might have to be ready and willing to take some steps individually. You know, I've talked to a couple people about this here and there, but the amount of study that it's taking me to teach the Old Testament survey class we're doing, just a few years ago, I wouldn't have been prepared to do that. I've had to grow in my ability to study, grow in my commitment to that cause, that part of the ministry, in order to be able to take that on. We might have to grow to be able to do what God wants us to do. Whatever that area is in your life, and I don't know where the Lord's speaking to your heart about what, or where he may be stirring or challenging you, but I want you to know where God leads, he enables. And God will enable you to do what he would like you to do. God will send you some candidates, some faithful men, some people that are ready to grow. If you are a faithful person, to disciple them, to work with them, to minister to them. But we have to have that ministry mindset. Where are we serving? And we have, like, Brother Keaton today, you know, asking about, you know, the working church, and do you need more workers? I mean, obviously, we always could use more workers, but, you know, we have a lot. We have a working church. There's probably nobody in here that doesn't have a job already. I mean, I know that I'm speaking to the choir, but you know what they say. If you need something done, find a busy guy, because he's going to get it done. And the church, those that are able to, are probably the people that are already doing. They're already working. They're already serving. But we've got to have that ministry mindset all the time. Not just fulfilling our duty of working the sound or being a security guard or, you know, playing the piano or whatever. Those aspects of ministry are part of our service for Him. But specifically, who are we ministering to? Who are the candidates that right now in your heart and mind you're saying, I need to reach them. I need to encourage them. I need to call them. I need to take them to dinner. I need to somehow be a source of encouragement in that person's life. There's too many of the church that are coming in and being ministered to and not ministering to others. There's too much of us doing that. We have got to have a ministry mindset. And beloved, a lot of ministry happens here on Sunday morning that is not from this pulpit. They say that a guest that comes to a church makes up their mind whether they will ever be back or not within the first 7 minutes. And it's a long time before they hear anything from this pulpit. It's the people and how you minister to them as they're coming through the door. And over again, and I praise God for that Hunt Valley hospitality, because it is a testimony, and the people that come here enjoy the friendliness of our church, and you guys are exemplary in that effort that's being put forth. I'm asking, let's take it one step further where we start to think about, okay, now I've introduced myself, how can I help them? How can I minister to them? How can I be an encouragement to them? How can I make a difference in their life? Lord, help me to see how I can make a difference in their life. And God, give us those ideas so we can impact people for Him. He'll send people that are seeking the truth, that are willing to take time to learn, that are submitting to God's word. You know, we've seen this discipleship thing take off, and so many people, sometimes we got more people wanting to be discipled than we have people to disciple them. I think that is just fruit, because we have something in place, and God said, okay, you're ready to do this. Here you go. Here's people that are hungry to learn. And that's what it's about. But discipleship, beloved, is more than just giving out some notes. Discipleship is pouring your life into somebody else, taking time with them, being a friend to them, walking with them through the valley and rejoicing with them on the mountaintop. But just being a friend, just opening yourself up and striving to just help where you can, encourage them. And listen, from me all the way down, we all can do a little better, amen? We all can do a little bit better. And I know we have one of the friendliest churches out there, and we have such a great spirit in this congregation, and I'm thrilled with those things. But I'm challenging myself tonight too, all of us, as we're looking at this idea of missions and our focus on the world. It begins in our own heart, where God does something in us, where we have that mind of ministering to others, and it carries through each day with the people that we come in contact with. So I'm asking the members of Hunt Valley Baptist Church to pick somebody to pray for. Pick somebody to minister to. Invite them to your house. Encourage them to come with you to church on Sunday night. Take them out soul winning with you. Encourage them to be part of the discipleship ministry or program. Invite them. I'll tell you what, you want purpose in your Christian life? get involved in impacting somebody else's life. That'll give you purpose. Stand in the gap for someone else. Pick someone and say, okay, I'm going to make it my mission to help them be all they can be for God. Whatever I can do to help them be all they can be for God. And we'll see God do great things.